It's our friend Gary Tangway from NBC Sports Boston. Hello, Gary.
Hey, Richie. How are you?
I'm just great. What, did you look good? Of course you look good. You always look good.
Yeah. You know, I'm just here's the deal. I'm in the newsroom, and all these 20-somethings are eating hoagies and pizza and burgers, and I just come out of the break room with my microwaved cauliflower. Yeah, oh, it's so good. You know, it's so, they say, isn't it fun being healthy? Like, what's Felger say? Felger always says, there's no food that tastes as good as skinny feels. And I said, I disagree with that passionately. I can give you about 100, pal.
Well, you just had a birthday, so you know every time you have one of those, you start eating a little healthier, right?
Well, you try to. I mean, but if I, you know, and everybody says it, it's kind of like if I knew then what I know now, I'd be a gazillionaire. But you know, if I ate when I was 25 the way that I eat now, I would have looked like Throckmorton.
Yeah, but Throckmorton didn't eat like he should look that way either. But it'll catch up with him someday.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I don't know. Throck should be like a medical experiment. I don't know.
It's a good genes. You can't beat good. I've decided that. You can't. People can talk about working out and eating right. Look, you come from ugly people. Good luck to you. That's what you're going to be. And you come from good-looking people. Nothing you do can screw that up.
Well, no, that's true. You just try to. You're absolutely right, Jenny. Because doctor friends of mine have said, you know, we tell you all this stuff, and, you know, because one of my friends, actually, Alan Greenberg, this was a while ago, the Harper Current, a good friend of mine, just suddenly his heart stopped. And I said to my friend, a cardiologist, I was like, so it's not a heart attack, the heart stopped. And I said, what's the difference? And he said, heart attack is damage to the heart muscle. He said, his heart stopped, just stopped. And I'm like, why? He goes, I don't know. And I said, aren't you the cardiologist? And he's like, He goes. You'd be surprised what we don't know. You know, like so. Genetics are a big part of it, Rich. Like John Carroll, who used to coach the Celtics, he ran a clinic that my son was at, and my son, you know, like every 13-year-old wants to be in the NBA, he wants to be a professional athlete. And John just said to him, he pointed to me, and he goes, "Sorry, kid."
Yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is. He said, "Why couldn't you have been Donnie Marshall?" I'm like, "Yeah, sorry."
I look at my 4-year-old all the time and say to him, you're going to need to study really hard.
Yeah, you better be smart. Well, you were smart, Rick, so, you know, it'll be fine.
Yeah, we'll have a good time. We know that. Well, what's going on in the Boston sports scene? Sox got a win this afternoon. It got interesting there in the ninth inning, but, well, this team is playing awfully well, and everybody, well, with the possible exception of David Price, everybody seems pretty happy.
Yeah, you know, credit Alex Cora. And Cora said the other night after the Celtics were eliminated, he said, I guess the baseball season starts. And from a media perspective, he's right. And, you know, we had our pre-show meeting today, and, you know, I said, you know, this team really deserves a lot more attention than it's getting, at least from me. You know, I'm thinking Celtics, and I'm always thinking Patriots. And as a baseball fan, I never really got into the baseball swing of things until June. You know, like everybody said, isn't opening day great? I said, yeah, when it's in Miami, you know. but you know, now you kind of, when the warm weather comes, you get into it, and they're a hell of a team, Rich. I mean, God bless them. Jeez, what a hell of a team. And I know, you know, Kimbrel gave us a little scare today, but they're awesome. And, you know, the thing with Price is, and maybe you can relate to this with your 4-year-old, but I have a 6-year-old, and you know, they just keep saying, like, the 6-year-old just keeps whining and whining and whining and whining, but I it's white noise to me now. I don't even notice it. And that's kind of the way I am with Price. It's just like, fine, you know. I thought he was actually kind of funny the other day when he said, yeah, you know, I'm soft. I kind of chuckled because the sarcasm was kind of, I thought it was kind of funny because I don't think he's soft. I think he's sensitive. I've never felt that he was soft.
So him saying that, is it, I mean, I there's some theories that, oh, he needs people to hate him. I don't know. Does he need that to get up enough anger? Does he pitch better with a chip on his shoulder, or does he just, has he given up on trying to deal with the Boston media?
You know, I don't know the answer to that because as crazy as that sounds, that's what made Pedro tick. I mean, Pedro, you know, Pedro, you know, would leave the game to a standing ovation, and it'd be one guy not standing, and Pedro would focus on that one guy, you know? I mean, but it works. I mean, that's how these guys work, because, you know, it is a job, and it's just like your job or my job, you know, day in and day out. It gets mundane, and the baseball season is longer. A lot of athletes, they use that. So maybe, you know, I just think he's an interesting character. You know, in Tampa, he didn't have the media. You know, briefly, Toronto wasn't an issue there. So I don't know if he's ever experienced it. But he's not going to change.
No,
now, that's what we have to accept. He's not going to change. So I've kind of put on the ear. You know, Dave, I got the earplugs on you, kid. Just go pitch. Because this is a fun team. I mean, they're fun. You know, and there are some people, you know, who are critical of baseball because, you know, it doesn't move. And there's a lot of issues with the game, especially when you look at the younger demographics and, you know, their attention deficit. But this is a fun team. So, you know, I'm excited about them. So just go pitch.
There you go. That's
pitch
it.
Well, it'd be great.
Speaking of changes, what changes, if any, do the Celtics need to make? A lot of people make the assumption, well, listen, we get Hayward back, we get Irving back, and let's plan on booking the NBA Finals already. It's never that simple. Do they need to make some changes? Who needs to go?
Well, I think Marcus, to me, is going to go just because he wants to get paid. I don't think that he needs to go. Well, actually, yeah, I do think he needs to go, because if Marcus stayed here at less money, it wouldn't be good. You know, and Marcus should get paid. You know, if you have a guy like that who's done so many good things, you know, but the reality is he's not a scorer. He's not a scorer, and the scorers get the big bucks. You know, but if somebody's going to give him $14 or $15 million to go do what he does on another team, then he should take that and get paid. And I have a feeling if he stayed here for less dough, it wouldn't work. Because they're all going to have less playing time, Rich.
Yeah.
Hayward and obviously Kyrie get back. That means Marcus Morris is playing less. That means Terry's playing less. That means Marcus is playing less. So, you know, I don't think anybody has to go. Like, you know, I don't know if Morris sticks around. You know, I thought he was good for what he did. He kind of let me down at the end, as did Smart, as did Rozier. You know, maybe you sell high on Rozier. There's some talk. Maybe you trade him and you put in a Sacramento pick and they move up. And they're talking about, you know, maybe was it the Ringer or somebody had an article today about, you know, Mo Bamba trying to go get him. So, you know, Danny won't look to improve. I mean, when, you know, first of all, when he says they just tweak it, I don't believe him. I mean, I mean, Danny, you know, listen, Danny would trade Gordon Hayward tomorrow for Anthony Davis. He wouldn't even think twice about it.
Hey, speaking of the NBA, Gary, is there a stranger story in recent years than this thing involving Philadelphia and Colangelo and the burner accounts?
Huh?
My word, that's a bizarre story.
Oh, it's weird. So weird. And to think that an NBA GM, I mean, seriously? I mean, come on. Come on. I mean, it can't be. I mean, you know, you would think that they're above all that. But you know what? There are vendettas, man. People hold grudges. And it's weird. It's so freaking weird. I don't know. I mean, you know, obviously, we've never seen anything like it.
Speaking of the NBA, good news for a couple of main guys today, with Brett Brown actually yesterday getting a contract extension, and then Steve Clifford getting a new gig down in Orlando.
Love Clifford, man. Former University of Maine and Farmington Beaver.
That's right.
And good for him. You know, he did a good job, I thought, with the Bobcats. But, you know, I mean, the Hornets, Bobcats, not Hornets. You know, and things are just, you know, good for him. But, you know, I love Frankie Vogel. I mean, Frankie Vogel, who coached Orlando and then, you know, coached Indiana. When I started down here, he used to set up the PA system for the Celtics. But those guys all make a ton of money. And that's the thing I'm happy for. Is, you know, you take a guy like Clifford, take a guy like Brett Brown, who certainly deserves it. And these guys are basketball lifers. And for the longest time, you know, they move from city to city. They coach overseas. They coach in Asia. They're just all over the place. And then they get that NBA deal, you know, and they finally get some stability and they get some money for their family, so that if it doesn't work out, you know, they're good. They don't have to coach in the D League. So I'm really happy for both of them.
You know what you and Brett Brown have in common other than your basketball ability?
Well, the only thing is we used to play Portland in summer basketball because my coach, Tom Maines, would bring a bunch of kids from Mexico down to Portland, down to South Portland, and Bob Brown would be running a summer basketball clinic. And we kind of do like this combination clinic. That's other than that, I don't know.
you both had me as a counselor at Boys State.
Wow, what year was he? Is he older than me or younger?
He's older. But my first year as a Boys State counselor back in, God, I hate to say it, 78, 40 years ago, he was in my town.
Wow.
The town of Paris.
Rich, should we tell all the stories that happened after hours?
I don't believe that's a good idea. No, I don't think anybody. That really is not in the best interests of, me, most of all, or you.
God. All I know is that people listening aren't going to know what I'm talking about, but sorry. one of the most genuine people I've ever met in my life, I forgot that it was the gentleman from Mars Hill. was a counselor with us, an older gentleman. I forgot his name, but anyways.
Gosh. Oh, yes. Yes, I know who you mean. I do. He was a terrific baseball player back in his youth. Now I can't think of his name.
Yeah. But that's it. The Boys State was a great experience. Richie, I owe it all to Rich Kimmel. Made me the man I am today.
I do not take responsibility for that.
Yeah. I think the highlight was the trip to Girl. I was in the band, so I could go over to Girl State.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was a big deal. I do remember, we used to, one of the things that the counselors would sometimes do after hours to sort of initiate, it was not hazing, to initiate new counselors is we'd sneak into their rooms in the middle of the night and soak them down with water pistols and super soakers and things like that.
You did that to me. Yeah, I remember that.
Well, we did it one night to Steve Abbott. This was back when Steve was...
Oh, Steve, I remember Steve, sure. Yeah, his dad's from Rumford. Whoa.
Yeah, Walt Abbott. And Steve, at the time, I was captain of the football team at Harvard. And he was a big fella in those days.
He's
and
a kid.
He jumped up out of that bed in the middle of the night when we threw a lot of water on. We ran fast. That was probably the fastest I've ever moved in my life.
Yeah, he's a big kid. Is he around?
Steve is he's chief of staff for Susan Collins.
Oh, wow. Big deal. Okay.
Former
something with his wife.
Former candidate for governor as well.
That's right. Oh, okay.
The Boys State experience. It sends people on to greatness, such
did
as
they
yourself.
Still do that?
They still do it, yeah. It's down at, I think it's at Thomas College now.
It used to be, it was at MMA for a long time.
Yeah, it was.
Moved on.
Oh, MMA. Yeah, it's a great, kid from Mumford. I mean, you just get out, you meet new people. It was great. It was awesome. It was a great time.
I mean, you're growing up in the shadow of Ed Muskie over there.
Oh, yes, sir. It's Father Stephen. Yes, good old Ed Muskie. Yeah, I knew my Uncle John. We're getting way off the rail here, but anyways, knew my Uncle John well. But I digress.
Hey, who's on Early Edition tonight?
We got Trenny Gasper's coming in. Gasper's going to unload us of people because, he was the Celtics are up 2-0. He said, if the Celtics lose, this is a major disappointment. And some people feel like you should be patting the Celtics on the back and giving them a popsicle. But I'm with Gasper. I think they should have won the finals, which is more of a compliment because they were that good. But Gasper's going to be in. We're going to do that. Also, do some Sox stuff. And, I'm with, look, Danny's going to do something, man. That guy is always looking to improve the team, so we'll discuss that as well.
We'll be looking forward to it tonight, NBC Sports Boston. Gary, thanks as always. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, Rich. Talk to you later.